This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Sailish Patel, who is the Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development for a company called CNSI. Good morning, Sailish. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Well, no problem at all. I want you to bring you in here because there's, you know, if you go buy a newspaper at the Starbucks and have a cup of coffee, inevitably you can see something on the front page about healthcare. Healthcare this, healthcare that. People on Capitol Hill are fighting about it. Obama's fighting about it. And, boy, it's almost like a pitched battle here in Washington, D.C. And I thought it'd be good to bring in an organization that's actually done some successful work over a decade in this area of healthcare IT. And maybe you can give some guidance and suggestions of where it's going and maybe talk about electronic health records from a very practical perspective. And that's why we brought you in here. But before we begin, there are people who are listening going, Sailish Patel, what? Why is he working for this company? How did he wind up here? Maybe give us a little background first.
Certainly. I have an electrical engineering degree from Virginia Tech and a master's from Catholic University, so I'm kind of a local boy. And shortly thereafter, I got into information technology, first in real time in military, and then after that in healthcare and IT systems around this area. And I had formed a company called AsOne, which is a project collaboration system with another partner. And CNSI eventually bought that company in 2004. And since then, have been focused on systems and real-time systems as well as healthcare systems and health IT.
And CNSI isn't new to this game. They've been doing this for a decade now, whole idea of healthcare IT. They've been in there. It's almost in their DNA.
Yeah, exactly. We were founded in 1994 in Maryland, and about 97 is when we first started into health IT, and about 1999-2000 timeframe is when we first built some of our products that are currently in use in Medicaid as well as Medicare. CNSI itself has two parts. There's a federal focus with a lot of agency support, everything from help desk to project management and strategic planning. And on the healthcare side is Medicaid, Medicare, a lot of health IT information systems, health insurance exchange, as well as health information exchanges.
Yeah, very, very complex systems. And normally in the commercial world, if you have a very complex system, we assume it's going to be tough. But if you take and apply this technology for federal IT, you have to worry about HIPAA compliance, and you have to worry about the scale that I think many people in the commercial world really can't put their arms around. The scale is enormous, and the complexity is a given, but then there's enormous scale, and then secure HIPAA compliance too, isn't it? It's a tough job.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's actually at the state level as well, but certainly at the federal level, HIPAA and security and privacy is very important. It's something we really focus on as we build our systems.
So we see in general, and I've been doing technology since before you were born, I think. If you look at technology in general, we see more and more people moving to the cloud or service-oriented architecture, whatever the flavor of the week happens to be. And they like web-centric solutions. And if you go to your website, which is cns-inc.com, you find out that you folks do a lot of work in the area of web-centric healthcare systems. Is that right?
Absolutely. When we first built our ECAMS product with this electronic claims administrative and management system, we didn't have any baggage. We wanted to focus on it from a clean slate, and we built the architecture to be completely web-centric. This is, again, when the web was starting to become cool. People were starting to bank and buy books and so on. And we asked the question, why not health information? Why not have providers have access to their records and their information as well from a payment perspective?
And you're not the only one. I mean, the President of the United States kind of thinks it's a good idea, too. A couple years back, he came up with some initiatives And he wanted to take and allow more information to be transparent. I think this administration talks about transparency, and you've been involved in a couple of projects, or your company's been involved in a couple of projects that add to this transparency and let actual citizens get information on some of the services that they can receive. And one of these is called Blue Button, and that's really the focus of the discussion today. Tell us about this Blue Button, what it's all about.
It's actually a really great initiative started at Veterans Affairs, and President Obama did sign that. And the whole project is about providing information to consumers, to the patients. John, one of the things that we focus on and the healthcare community really is focused on and should be is getting patients engaged in their healthcare and their health outcomes. And one of the best ways to do that is to give them access to what the records that we hold about them, whether it's VA data, whether it's Medicare data or Medicaid data. And the Blue Button is a very important initiative, allows vets to be able to download their information, health records, things that they entered, as well as what VA holds for them in a file format that they can read. It's not a computer XML format. It's an easy-to-read file format, but it's now become kind of standardized, and there's a little cottage industry around that as well.
And so I guess the general category here is a portal of some sort, and the two terms we've got to worry about here, one's called a personal health record, and one's called an electronic health record. Perhaps you can differentiate the two for our audience here.
Yep, absolutely. It is accessible right through a client portal. And we've done a few things beyond that at CNSI to be able to engage clients on a mobile device, but we can talk about that in a minute. But in terms of electronic health records and personal health records, not to confuse everyone, but there's actually a third as well, electronic medical records. So let me start with that. Medical records, electronic medical records are records that are kept within an organization, say in a hospital, for example, radiology or emergency. And electronic health records combine EMR type of records from multiple organizations. And the idea is that clinicians use electronic health records to be able to manage and collaborate on the delivery of healthcare. And what a personal health record does is allows a consumer to be part of that engagement, and then it's controlled by the consumer. And the idea is a client can use that information, can enter additional information, and then download all the information as well.
And I guess the reason for all this is the fragmentation of information. If you live in Chicago and have x-rays done, and then you move to Atlanta and get in an accident, I mean, there may be 10 different places to get information, and I think one initiative is to make this safer for the patient and probably cheaper for everyone is have some kind of electronic record of your health information.
Exactly. It's coordination of care, allowing multiple clinicians to be able to view the same information and save money by not necessarily ordering the same test and x-rays over again. My dentist does that today, and it's really great where they have multiple locations and they don't have to worry about getting the information or having me re-enter the information on a clipboard.
Yeah, you hit the phrase that pays. It's called save money.
Yeah.
And I think every one of my listeners, whether they're involved in healthcare IT or not, they've got to figure a new way to skin the cat and figure out how to do it cheaper and faster. And one way is, you know, in my world is called deduplication. in databases, deduplication saves time and saves money.
Exactly.
But what about in healthcare? What about, you know, billing twice? Do you think billing twice is going to save money? Well, first of all, it's going to save administrative time. And what about the second bill that's paid? And I think that's the whole focus behind this push. And that's why the White House Innovation Gallery talks about the Blue Button Project.
Yep, exactly. And it's all about bringing that information available and making it available to multiple users and reusable. And it absolutely is about money. And if you look at it today, there's more people that need healthcare and the dollars are becoming less and less. And it's going to become even more problematic in the next 2 to 3 years.
And let's face it, you know, if you are a federal worker or you were involved in the Marine Corps for 20 years, you're not going to be mandated to live in Tacoma Park. You could be living in Hawaii. You could be living in Maine. You could be living in Texas. You could move throughout the year. And you want to be able to access the privileges that you've earned, sometimes with your own blood, for this medical care. And you want to be able to have some way to maybe participate yourself. And I think this is what's interesting about the personal health record. It allows individuals to put in more information. And guess what? That's going to be much more accurate than some clerk somewhere trying to come up with, Salish's home address because he just moved.
Yeah, it's like online banking and other initiatives today. I mean, as soon as the consumer is more engaged, they're in control of their finances in the online banking example and the healthcare, we're hoping the same will be achieved there. A lot needs to happen in order to have that world come into play. Consumers need to be more excited about this and have more prevalent technologies. But that is the end game, be able to provide that information to them.
Where do companies, I mean, big, huge companies like Google and Microsoft fit in this picture? Do they have interfaces for this? Or I'm trying to put them in, you know, I keep thinking, well, maybe Google already has a solution and you're duplicating their solution.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, Google has Health and Microsoft has Health Vault. That's one of the main areas they've been involved, at least from a personal health records perspective. And their goal is to be able to provide that online record, easy access, so on. However, their focus is also on standards, standard-based files. And lately, they've also accepted the Blue Button file format, for example. So if you download that, and you can upload that into your Microsoft Health Vault as an example. However, the market is interesting. Google Health is going to phase out their product by January of 2012. Hmm. So the adoption perspective, we'll have to talk about a little bit more. But it is going to be interesting over the next year.
We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about healthcare IT and touch on the topic of electronic medical records and the Blue Button program and what exactly this is all about as far as saving money in the area of healthcare IT. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Sailish Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. Chances are you walk by someone every day living with epilepsy, yet you probably don't even know it.
In between seizures, many patients look like you and me. They speak normally, they behave normally, they function normally, but when that seizure occurs, they don't function normally.
Dr. Jerry Shee is a neurologist and epilepsy expert at Mayo Clinic. He says epilepsy can severely impact your independence. You may not be able to drive or hold certain jobs. It can even affect your relationships.
That young adolescent who has epilepsy may not want to go out on a date, may not want to go out with friends, not because he or she has a seizure, but is afraid that they may have a seizure.
The good news is that medications are very effective at helping most people control the disorder. Surgery and other treatments can help even more. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework in the federal government at fedstelework.com. Read more on telework resources and get connected with Feds Telework on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Tune in to Federal News Radio 1500 AM on December 1st at noon and listen to the Feds Telework panel discussion on issues directly affecting federal employees and the way they do business. That's December 1st at noon. Learn about the future of telework at fedstelework.com. That's fedstelework.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody.
and watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I drum in the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Sailish Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI. We're focusing today on healthcare IT, some challenges in the area of personal health records, electronic health records. If you'd like to get more information, if you want to download a white paper, you can go to the website. It's C as in Charlie, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, CNS-INC.com. Kind of difficult to say in the radio. Easy to write down, kind of difficult to say, because CNS, what was that, an M or N? No, it's a C as in Charlie, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, CNSinc.com. Sometimes I go to a coffee shop and have a coffee and meet with people, and I inevitably see people popping out their iPhones. And I was at a place this morning, and they were testing out their 4iS, and they're testing out Siri and saying, okay, what should I have for breakfast? And it was just hilarious. It's getting me mad because it was like a toy. It's like a third grader having a new toy. But whether you like it or I like it or anyone else likes it, this seems to be the way people want to consume information. And I think if people want to consume medical information, health IT, they're going to have to do that same thing. And so I think a company like yours has to respond and say, okay, we're going to, you know, we're going to be a leader in this area.
Yep, absolutely. In terms of iPhones or Android apps, either way, one of the things we've done is actually taken the Blue Button initiative and to a new level. The Blue Button is largely about providing that personal health record to that individual over the portal, et cetera. So we give access to it through the phone wherever you are. But one of the challenges that healthcare professionals have is as well as keeping updated information about the person's demographics, insurance information, and other information that the consumer typically has. So we enable that to be entered right on the phone, and it gets uploaded into the healthcare system. And after an approval and authorization, it gets added to the record itself. So the information stays current, stays live, and everyone is working from that same sheet of music. With the iPhone and the location information, they can also search for providers within their area or even get educational materials, which is a big important thing in terms of getting consumers engaged in healthcare as well.
You know, we had the folks on from vaccines.gov, and they did a survey, and they tried to find out how their people want information. And some of their people were homeless. And the homeless people are saying, we can't afford a computer. We can afford an iPhone somehow. And so they want their information on their iPhone rather than a desktop application. And so for someone like you, what you have to think is you got to put yourself in the position of the consumer, the end user, if you will. And well, if that's the way they want their information, well, then, you know, if they want pancakes, we'll serve them up pancakes. If they want, you know, mobile type information, and it just seems to be the whole trend is mobile. And there's considerations as far as security goes as well, aren't there?
Absolutely. And in terms of encrypting the information, using the right networks, that is important. Devices being lost, and you don't want that information to be available for somebody else. So you have all of those considerations are important. In fact, one of the things we did was built our mobile operating system on top of iOS as well as Android in order to be able to cover these type of things. And then the other aspect is unconnected networks. Sometimes you don't have cell coverage or data coverage or 3G. So you have to accommodate that as well in terms of keeping the information local on the phone long enough in an encrypted manner, but then synchronize when you eventually did get connected to the network.
In the first part of our discussion, we mentioned Blue Button, and we mentioned ways that it can export information. And there's kind of a fuzzy, like a mysterious, like there's a special. No, the way it's sending out information that people can consume is in ASCII text. I mean, this has been around since, I don't know, 1975 or something. It's been around since forever. So it's not like we're communicating in Latin or we're communicating in some arcane language like Esperanto. No, this is kind of the coin of the realm. You know, any developer out there sees ASCII text, they're going to know exactly what to do, aren't they?
Yeah, the developers know what to do with it. You can read it, and the consumer can actually read the file. I've read continuity of care documents and these XML files, the little technical terms, but you cannot read those documents. They're machine-consumable type of files. The Blue Button file format, you can read. You can do something with it and act on that information.
And I think that's, you know, involving patients in their care is just like involving parents with their child's education. You know, statistically, if a parent's involved in the child's education, he's going to perform better. And I think if a person like you is involved in your own healthcare, you probably a lot more success than if you, you know, let the physicians make all the decisions, because I think it's part and parcel on the patient too, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we recognize as IT professionals, especially in health IT, we have to do more as well. And what I mean by that is, I mentioned earlier, Google is phasing out their health product, and that may imply to you that personal health records are not that important to consumers, but they are important. By doing more, what I mean is we have to change that whole experience that a consumer has with the healthcare professional. Today, you think about it, you have to make an appointment, go to the office, wait your typical time, fill in the same information you filled in over 100 times on a clipboard, and then you eventually get to see a healthcare professional. That shouldn't be the case. You should be able to do it right from your phone or your computer system, make the appointment, send your history if you have not been to that healthcare professional before, and all that information gets transmitted over to the professional, and you don't waste all that time. So the engagement needs to change completely.
You know, one curious verb that is used when patients are asked to put information about their healthcare, it's called curating. So it's the personal health record is curated by the individual. Sounds like, you know, a Renoir gallery in France or something, you know, but it's your information. It's valuable information. And what are you allergic to? Maybe it's important for people to know that you're allergic to something, or what medication are you on? Well, if you get in a traffic accident, I mean, it's probably important to know that you may be taking a certain drug that may have a reaction with another drug, and personal health records may make that available a lot easier than before.
Yep, absolutely. Drug-to-drug allergies and a lot of other things. Absolutely important. And also, the level of trust between the consumer and the healthcare professional needs to be improved as well, and that will come over time. For example, right now, a lot of healthcare professionals do not trust necessarily the information entered by the consumer because it's not from a professional. But eventually, that information, that level needs to be improved so that we can make this work in the long run.
So there's two key websites here for our listeners to go to. One is myhealth.va.gov. Another one is mymedicare.gov. Those are two key ones to go to. And you folks work with the Medicaid, is that right?
We work with Medicaid. And by the way, one other one would be the bluebuttondata.org as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we do work with Medicaid. That's where our system, our products have been honed and built over time. But recently, we have been introduced into Medicare as well, taking a component of our eCAMS solution called the Healthcare Engine. And now we will be processing Medicare encounters. So that's our first foray into Medicare. And then eventually we'll hope to be able to get into other areas as well with fraud and abuse and prevention and detection.
And you've taken this concept actually on the federal area, but also in several states have taken a look at waste and look at ways to comply with federal standards, and you've helped them comply with federal standards in order to use personal health records and use some of these concepts.
Yeah, absolutely. And about 10 or 11 years ago, as I mentioned, when we introduced eCAMS into the marketplace for Medicaid itself, we had built it from the ground up, and our focus was to make sure the states were buying a set of services and platforms, not monolithic systems. Because looking forward at that point, we knew the health IT would be increasing in use. And what we wanted the states to be able to do is invest in a piece of technology, a series of technology investments that then can connect to other HHS information. And that's what we've been able to achieve, and that's why we've been successful recently. And our eCAMS product is a kind of a layered set of componentized systems that's service-oriented based. Before it was cool to actually talk about SOA, we were doing these things.
Service-oriented architecture, yeah, that's seems to be a lot easier than a proprietary solution, which is why I brought up the concept of Microsoft. When I think of Microsoft, I think of proprietary software, but then I think of a patient portal. It, by definition, is going to be more open than a proprietary system, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's really the focus on the standards, and that's been the right move in the industry, in the software industry in general, where you don't necessarily worry about the individual components and what they may be built in. For example, our system is Java-based. Sorry, John, I know you're a Microsoft guy, but we also talk to Microsoft components built using Microsoft and other technologies as well. But as long as you have standards-based communications and interoperability, the systems can work together. And today we interface with Siebel, we interface with Oracle Financials, all through SOAP web services and other types of standards.
When you take sensitive medical information and try to release it to the public, there has to be some compliance to standards as far as HIPAA goes. I think what we're trying to do here is maybe take a break and come back and talk more about security and how this was received. I mean, I'm sure not everyone jumped up and down, was excited about Blue Button, and then we'll talk about how it has been received after it's actually, you know, it started here. So it took about a year before it was implemented. We can find out maybe what happened after someone hit the button on Blue Button. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking about healthcare IT with Sailish Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Give the gift of Caps Hockey with a holiday gift pack. Caps holiday gift packs include two tickets to three exciting Caps games, an autographed puck, two Caps hats, and two passes for public skates at the Kepler Capitals Iceplex. There's no better way to celebrate the holidays. For more information on Caps holiday gift packs and to find out how you can win an ultimate Caps holiday experience, call 202-266-CAPS. Text HOLIDAY to 43803 or log on to washingtoncaps.com/holiday.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Energy Department says it's linked up three of its national laboratories with a network that can move data at up to 10 times the speed commercial IT providers can offer. DOE paid for the Advanced Networking Initiative with $62 million worth of money from the Recovery Act. The network lets researchers at labs in California, Illinois, and Tennessee exchange information at 100 gigabits per second. DOE says the network could also drive the creation of similar technologies for commercial use.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio. Please join me this week for my special guest, MJ Jacobson, Vice President of Communications for National Geographic. She is going to tell us about her involvement with the Children's Charities Foundation and the BB&T Classic, which takes place this Sunday, December the 4th at the Verizon Center. For ticket information, visit ccfdc.org.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join the Salvation Army and Bergman's Cleaning for the 20th annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids in the Needy Drive. If you have one or more cold weather coats that you can spare, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's. Bergman's will refresh and clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy of the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 490,000 coats have been collected in the past 19 years. Please make this year's a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
You can check out the Christmas tour over in Lewis, Delaware on December the 3rd. Lewis, of course, is a very historic area. Homes from the 19th to the 21st centuries are on this tour. You can check out the packages at the Inn at Canal Square in Lewis, too, and find out a nice package where you can enjoy the tour of the town and the restaurants that are there. Or you can look at visitsoutherndelaware.com as well. Also on December the 3rd, you can tour some classic Washington homes that are really done up for the holidays. You can tour Anderson House, the Woodrow Wilson House, Dumbarton House, and Tudor Place and Gardens. These are all on one tour. They're fascinating, historic places by themselves. But December 3rd is a wonderful chance to see them all together. You can learn a lot more about the Woodrow Wilson House in the November issue of Recreation News. And you can check out the details on the tour at woodrowwilsonhouse.org.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Sailish Patel, who is the Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI. We're talking about federal IT initiatives, federal healthcare initiatives, talking about electronic medical records and Blue Button and all kinds of projects that are going to affect everyone in the United States sooner or later. The whole concept of electronic medical records is a very important topic today in the world of federal healthcare IT. Now, I always put myself in the position of a listener and managing a project like this. And if someone were to give me a project of making this transition, I can expect certain bumps in the road. But inevitably, these projects bring up unexpected adventures and problems. What kind of unexpected adventures did you have in this whole big project?
Oh, absolutely. One of the areas that you normally a lot of organizations don't think about when you think about project management, I'm a PMP and I do all the planning and all that stuff myself. But one area that's absolutely challenging is really just the organizational and cultural change aspect of things. This, whether you're talking about Medicaid or Blue Button implementations or mobile, mostly it's not a technology problem. What we found, it's people problem, it's organizations. And when you talk about projects such as Blue Button for Medicaid or VA or anywhere else, the challenge is you're dealing with multiple organizational units, from hospitals to physicians to Medicaid organizations and everyone in between. And getting them on the same page to be able to access the information, to be able to play in the project itself is difficult. And that's been the most challenging. It's not surprising, but the most challenging.
And you didn't have all the time in the world for this, did you?
No, absolutely. These days, especially when you talk about things like mobile technologies, it's sprints, 6 to 9 months implementation, getting it out the door. You have to think in those terms because these technologies change, standards change, and getting product to end user customers is important because that feedback happens at that point, and that's what improves the whole cycle.
I don't want to reiterate the first part of the program, but the Blue Button Initiative started around August of 2010, and they actually hit the button in October of about a year and a few months later. And what happened? Any problems, any concerns? Did it all fall apart in smoke? Or
Yeah, and this would be a good opportunity to clarify a few things as well. What we've been talking about initially was the VA's Blue Button Initiative, and that is off of their My Healthy Vet portal, which allows vets to be able to have access to the information. And what CNSI has been involved with has been the Medicaid Blue Button. And what we're doing, and I believe we're the first to do this, but what we're doing is similar to VA, giving Medicaid consumers access to information stored in these systems, whether it's personal as well as the financial information directly to the consumer through either a mobile phone or off of a portal, just like VA does. And we also mentioned briefly, might have alluded to it, but CMS also has a Medicare Blue Button Initiative that's for Medicare data, and they provide claims-related information. And as I mentioned earlier, what we do is for Medicaid, and then we have a two-way interaction as well where the consumer engages with their device or through a screen with the healthcare provider, with providers.
So in October of 2011, when it went live, what happened the first week?
Well, I mean, it's on the VA side, from what I understand, the information, it did work. I mean, there are issues, I think, with getting and collecting the information. But generally, it's been successful. What happened, I believe, was the vets were able to log in, and I forget the exact numbers, but there was tremendous success even in the first few months. A lot of people started downloading the information and using it and reading it, printing it out, putting it in their files.
Well, they never could before, and this is the big transition, is that the information was there, but you couldn't download it.
Exactly. And now they can consume it. And the file format, then the next question was asked, well, what do I do with this beyond just being able to read it and print it out and so on? And that's when products such as ours, as well as Microsoft Health Vault and Google Health came into play. And there's others, also Adobe and others, that are building different products along that line to be able to share that file format, to be able to upload it and put it as a part of a larger record.
When the Blue Button Initiative started, it must have ruffled some feathers in other parts of the organization. I mean, you can't make any change like this without interacting with other parts of the organization. How did you navigate that difficult period.
Well, that's the people part. That's that organizational cultural part that I mentioned earlier. The main concern typically is on the security aspect, and we kind of touched on that earlier as well. What authority do I have to be able to release this? Do I have authority to release this information on a consumer? And the key problem I think everyone's trying to solve is identity. Once I know John Doe is John Doe, then I'm okay with it. But getting to that point is the challenge. And there are a lot of technologies and things in play. We're not quite there yet, but I think that's an area of focus for a lot of organizations, whether it's credentials or other types of systems as well. The Blue Button Initiative at the VA is kind of in two parts. One is getting your own information that you entered in, which is a little less secure, if you want to put it that way. But when you want to access information that's in the VA systems, you have to go through an authentication process, and that's a key part of it.
And you're responsible for working on that access control, or is it a different organization at the desk?
No, they're different organizations. And we weren't involved directly with the VA stuff. We were involved more on the Medicaid side.
And the Medicaid side's using the Blue Button, we know that. Now, what they did is they came up with some kind of a competition for organizations that could use this ASCII data. And I think Adobe came up with something called the Blue Button Health Assistant. Are you familiar with this? I mean, what does that allow a typical citizen to do?
Yeah, I am familiar with it. It's fairly new, but it's part of that same strategy to be able to use the information, share it, and collaborate with that information itself. So it's a really good initiative. I like this challenges, this competition that different agencies are putting out. It enables innovative companies to come up with ideas, to come up with things that you don't normally follow through. It would be difficult to do through an RFP process where somebody has to define the requirements first and then vendors respond. This enabled Adobe to be able to come up with a nice creative solution in order to be able to extend the Blue Button initiative.
When I think of electronic health records, I think of physicians incorporating notes, and I think of large insurance companies evaluating those and trying to approve an invoice. Personal health records, same church, different pew, more personal, obvious personal information, but it's not going to necessarily contain some of this more sensitive billing information. Is that right?
That is true. And it would contain more information about what the consumer might be recording, allergies to drugs, other things that the user has been taking. The systems itself make it a little easier to code the information as you put in. So you're not just typing in a basic drug information, you're looking it up. So it makes it a little easier, and that helps standardize things so physicians can understand the data as well.
I think organizations like Walmart are trying to take advantage of this and trying to come up with patient portals as well, where if a person comes in and gets a prescription filled, they may find out some irregularities or problems in there. It all seems like many different types of large organizations are slowly moving towards this concept of electronic health records, personal health records. It's just HIPAA has to be a big concern for any person in this environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great to see Walmart and others getting on this health IT bandwagon through portals, because that's what it kind of validates that there is interest out there from a market perspective, from a consumer perspective. They are engaged. They do want to have more information. And one of the things that you see in the future, look in the future, is the concept of collaboration and social media is going to be important in this health IT area as well. What I mean by that is today, when you have the sniffles or you're sick or something happens, one of the things you wind up doing is first going online somewhere, looking up information. Who else has had this? What my symptoms might be? That's going to become so prevalent in the future when these databases and information becomes available to the consumer, where eventually you may not even see the nurse practitioner or the doctor. You might say, hey, I found this on this site. This is what I'm seeing. Is this right? And you might communicate right through an electronic means. And with personal health records and electronic health records, it would be kind of the enabling technologies to make that world happen.
It's almost an e-visit, or the Apple people call it an i-visit, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Something like that. What about HIPAA and releasing information? A personal health record, it looks to me it's going to be a lot of information that I already may have, or it may be fragmented in my basement and file cabinet somewhere else, maybe in a physician's office in Tennessee, maybe in a laboratory in Florida or something. And so essentially what's happening is the personal health record allows an individual like me to put their information online. And are there HIPAA concerns just with that, or how does that HIPAA work as far as personal health records go?
Yeah, there are HIPAA concerns. I'm not a HIPAA expert by any means, but there are definite concerns on this. And one of the key mechanisms that many health information exchanges implement is through the consent process. So once I consent and agree to having access to my records, then that helps the organization holding the records share it within their practice as well as with that consumer.
Yeah, take a quick break and come back, talk more about healthcare IT, maybe get the crystal ball out and look at the future, the next 5 to 10 years, and where this whole technology is going to be heading. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Shailesh Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, host Bill Bransford will be joined by Walt Francis of Consumers Checkbook to talk about open season and top federal health plan issues.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
911, what's your emergency?
Every day, EADS North America supports homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Whether it's responding to emergencies or disasters, providing military helicopters, or systems that patrol and secure our borders and coastlines, EADS North America delivers on our promises every day. EADS North America, commitment defines us.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Ravens fans, 1500 AM Federal News Radio is your D.C. home for Ravens football. Listen to every game as the Ravens dominate the AFC North and march toward the Super Bowl.
Going deep, far sideline, end zone, caught, touchdown, Anquan Boldin. And it's intercepted, Ed Reed's got another one.
Give us a Ray Rice, running right, big hole, touchdown.
Catch all the action as the Ravens take on the Cleveland Browns Sunday, December 4th. Pregame starts at 3:35 p.m. on 1050 AM.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 200 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, yes, John, but what does your company do? Well, my company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations to help improve the way they collect data. You may call it comprehensive data collection, data analysis, or even outcomes measurements. If your agency has any problems with collecting, analyzing, or displaying data, then please visit our website at armaturecorp.com. We can help.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Salish Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI. Kind of a tough website to find. You can find it at CNS, like Charlie, Nancy, Sam, CNS-Inc.com. We're talking about healthcare IT and this Blue Button Initiative, and we've bounced around from topic to topic to topic. If you are listening to this interview online or it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you want to pursue this, there is a conference coming up in December. Is that right, Salish?
Absolutely. The mHealth Summit, Mobile Health Summit.
And where can listeners get more information on that?
It's at mhealthsummit.org, and the conference is on 5th through 7th December.
Oh, that's great. And it's right here locally. Is it in the Gaylord? Is that where it's at?
Exactly.
So it's a local conference. So
Beautiful location.
If you want to get more information on the Blue Button, if you want to grab someone from CNSI and say, tell me more, or if you have questions about how it may work in your agency, this is a good ground to start exploring more information.
And importantly, vote for our poster contest as well.
Vote for the poster contest. I guess that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of our listeners have been listening to the interview, and we get a little too technical here, and they're scratching their head going, that Salish guy, I wonder if he's really a nerd or not. Maybe he's a wannabe, or maybe he's a poser. So I have a very, very technical survey here that we're going to give, and we're going to determine if you are a card-carrying nerd or not. Now, Virginia Tech gives you a lot of points. You know, my son's at Virginia Tech, so I know what an E major does at Virginia Tech. They beat their head against the walls of what they do down there.
My daughter's put me in that category. I'm a nerd. Let's see what the numbers show.
You know, you go by a dorm, you see the lights on. Oh, that's the E guys. Yeah, they're out working. They're going crazy. So we know what the E's all about. So that gives you some points. But first of all, year you got your first computer. When was that?
1982, Commodore 64.
82. That's some nerd points. That's some pretty good points. Your first cell phone.
I think that was in 93, a bag phone.
Well, that's okay, you know. And operating system they use at home?
Windows.
Windows, well, that's not a whole lot of points. Type of home connection, any kind of satellites, any kind of special things, regular standard stuff?
Pure cable.
Okay, well, that's losing points.
Oh, boy.
do you have a smartphone? I assume yes?
Absolutely. And, smarter than I am.
And what flavor?
iPhone.
Okay, that's points. How many apps you have in your iPhone?
I think about 20. In addition to what's already on the iPhone.
You got
to
work on that one, buddy.
Okay.
Do you have a tablet device?
Absolutely. iPad.
An iPad. That's getting points. What social networking sites do you participate in?
Facebook, mostly.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Electronic.
Well, you're solidly in the category of nerd now. A super nerd, I don't know. You need to have like your own satellite connection to your house and only run on Unix and have 5 different phones all going simultaneously, and then maybe you'd get more nerd points. But pretty solid technical background there, especially 82. My goodness, I didn't think you were even born in 82, but 82 is pretty early. From the frivolous to the more serious here, the whole idea behind this program is to save money for agencies. I mean, I get it. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you can save money through fraud and waste. You can save money through reducing duplicate contacts. You can save money by engaging the citizens in this whole process. And even in the commercial world, they found out that human beings, if they're responsible for the information online, it's going to be more accurate than if someone else does it. And that's really the big picture of this interview, is like CNSI can help an agency reduce the costs of providing high-quality health care.
Absolutely. And reusable components, that's the key thing as well. We had talked about our ECAMS modules and systems earlier, and that's specifically in the Medicaid space. It's currently being used to build Medicaid management information systems, MMISs as they're called. But it's about taking that technology, that investment, and then reusing it for other areas. And one of the areas, for example, is electronics, the service buses, as well as doing patient lookup and other information. So once you have that technology, that software installed, you should be able to use that for participating in health HIEs or other HHS initiatives.
Health information exchanges for the non-health IT folks out there. You know, there's a group that has a lot of members that are involved in health IT. It's called HIMSS, H-I-M-S-S. They're based in Chicago. They have these huge conferences with thousands of people. It's really incredible. And they discuss terms like meaningful use. And I intentionally waited to the last block here because I didn't want to get sidetracked into, twisting your arm to come up with a definition for meaningful use. But this is a very important concept in the world of health IT, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of the key elements of incentivizing physicians and others to be able to implement health IT, to put in these EHR systems that hopefully will be giving us the cost savings that we're all looking for.
And so maybe the baby step here is the personal health record. And maybe the next step might be integrating that with electronic health records and maybe some kind of a filter of what people can see, what people can't see. Because what we see is the whole world is moving towards that. And people in the federal government can either be the leaders or the followers, or they can set the standards, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. And the key also is to get private practice and physicians to be able to be engaged in this as well. And the adoption is there. It's a little slow in some areas. I think hospitals are moving a little faster than eligible professionals in terms of adopting EHR technologies and health IT. But until it's part of the practice and there's a benefit to it in the long run, it won't have the full scale adoption. But right now it's getting there, especially with the initiatives with EHR incentive payment programs for both Medicaid and Medicare. Available, basically the federal government creating initiatives and incentives to be able to install electronic health records.
So, I have in my hands in front of me a very expensive crystal ball. I'm going to have you gaze into it and tell the listeners, where is this going to be had the next 4 or 5 years? Mobile, I mean, obvious. It's going to be mobile in the next 4 or 5 years. Any other curveballs, any kind of paths that we can't foresee that aren't very obvious for the whole world of healthcare IT?
You hit it right on the nose. Definitely mobile. We can't even predict where we're going to be in 3 to 5 years. The devices and the software and the systems that are all brand new that are coming out, we're working on a lot of those things. It's going to be a new world from a mobile perspective, but making those applications available is going to be key as well. The other area I kind of touched on as well, I think from looking at the crystal ball, connecting social media and other portals into this healthcare delivery practice and continuum is going to be a real key thing. And we definitely see that. I think people will see that it's a way to save money in the long run, to not have everybody come in for doctor's visits when they have a sniffle, for example. Obviously, it's a more serious than sniffles, but it's that type of thing. So I think that's where the technology is eventually going to go. And that world that I described earlier where records are passed through ether to the right people in a secure and private manner.
You know, if you just look at some new innovations here, there are smartphones now that can passively collect information about a person's health situation and then place that in the personal health record. I mean, these are concepts that I couldn't have dreamt of 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of devices coming out to measure sugar level for diabetics and heart rate and a lot of other information where the phone becomes that collecting device. And you see that even with iPod and Nike in the for health nuts out there, where you can record your health activities, your workout activities, and that type of thing. But on a passive sense, collecting other information on a consumer authorized manner, I should say, and providing that to the PHRs and then eventually to your health professional.
We have to end this discussion on federal healthcare and IT systems, the Blue Button Project. Like to come back and revisit this and find out a little bit more and maybe go into greater depth of what federal IT professionals think. Maybe we'll grab one and bring you in the studio with him in a few months. How's that sound?
Thank you. Will do.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gill right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. So in the studio, we have Sailish Patel, Senior Vice President for Strategy and Corporate Development at CNSI.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
What bills in Congress could affect your pay, benefits, and agency budgets? Federal News Radio's Bill Tracker follows them all. Find it at federalnewsradio.com, search term Bill Tracker.